Greetings, I'm Jonathan Polevsky, the program director here at WBJC 91.5 FM. It's the last day of Hanukkah, and I wanted to celebrate every day of the holiday with a program about a special aspect of Jewish music, and we have done so. Some of the pieces we've listened to were by Jewish composers, and others are by composers whose best friends were Jewish, and some were by composers who probably never met a Jew in their lives and still somehow managed to get something about it right. Before we go on, it is my fiduciary responsibility for the final time to tell you that support for WBJC is made possible by you, our fabulous, fantastic members, and by Eddie's of Roland Park, cooking up local chef-prepared holiday dinners. Eddie's local heat-and-serve holiday cooking and delivery is made possible by a staff of 250 valued employees, including butchers and bakers, cooks and caterers, delivery drivers, and more, celebrating the local faces behind the holiday feast. Details on holiday menus at eddiesofrolandpark.com. Support for this program is also made possible by the estate of Ruth Srego Newhouse, a lover and scholar of Jewish music. So without further ado, here's day 8. What to choose? Well, it should be memorable, there should be a good story to it, and a great tune. Our music and our composer's life for today has all of this. He was born on October 10th, 1813, in the most humble of places, in the most humble of circumstances. His father, Carlo, was an innkeeper in the hamlet of Le Roncole, and he learned music from the organist at the church next door, which is still to this very day, next door. 3 miles away was the town of Busetto, where he found his first patron, a local grocer and wine merchant named Barezzi. Barezzi was president of the local Philharmonic Society and immediately saw great promise in the young man who came to live with him in 1831. Having an 18-year-old male in your house is always problematic, especially so when you have 3 daughters, one of which, named Margherita, is also 18. Giuseppe Verdi, for that was his name, taught her piano and voice, and well, you know how it goes. Having a young musician who had no job interested in their daughter wasn't the best scenario for the Barezzi family, and something had to be done. It was agreed that Verdi would go off to Milan to seek fame and fortune, find a position, and return to marry Margherita. I wish I could tell you that all went well and smoothly, but it didn't. Verdi's attempts to enter the famous Milan Conservatory failed, much to that academic institution's eternal shame, and making a mark on the big city proved difficult as a nobody from, well, nowhere. However, Verdi did make good use of his time and learned as much as he could in Milan from anyone who would teach him. He eventually returned to Busetto and applied for the position of the town's maestro di musica. The church, who saw Verdi as an unbeliever, immediately nominated their own candidate. After much argument between the two sides, which included the odd brawl and street fight, the matter was settled, and Verdi assumed position of maestro di musica in Busetto. Now he could safely marry Margherita, and did so on May 4th, 1836. She was soon expecting and gave birth to a daughter named Virginia in 1837. Their son Icilio was born the following year. Sadly, what should have been a happy family time turned out to be one of great tragedy. Virginia died in August of 1838. Verdi, who had ambitions greater than Busetto and never enjoyed writing music for the church, packed his bags, his score for his first opera, Oberto, and headed to make his fame and fortune in Milan. Sadly, the gods weren't done with Verdi yet. During the rehearsals for Oberto at La Scala, his son Icilio fell ill and died on October 22, 1839. His wife Margherita died the following May of encephalitis. Her father, Barezzi, arrived shortly before she passed. From a dreadful disease in the arms of her father, my beloved daughter Margherita, in the very flower of her youth. She was a faithful companion of the excellent young man Giuseppe Verdi. I weep over this tragic loss. Verdi recounted in his memoirs, "A third coffin goes out of my house. I was alone, alone." Ironically, on the career front, the devastated Verdi was experiencing some success with his first opera, Oberto. While it wasn't a huge hit, it was successful enough to make the management at La Scala contract Verdi for three more operas. Sadly, the first of these would be his greatest professional failure. The comedy Un Giorno di Regno was premiered in September of 1840, 4 months after his wife Virginia's death. The work was not well received, the rest of the run was cancelled, and La Scala did not perform Un Giorno di Regno until 2001, 100 years after Verdi's death. Verdi would not write another comedy until his final opera Falstaff in 1893, 53 years later. Verdi was done. He would compose no new music. Fortunately, he bumped into Bartolomeo Merelli, who gave him a libretto for an opera that had been rejected by Anno Nicolai. Verdi grudgingly took the libretto, put it into his pocket, and when he came home, quote, threw it on the table with an almost violent gesture. In falling, it had opened of itself without my realizing it. My eyes clung to the open page and to one special line, "Va pensiero sull'ali dorate," go thoughts on wings of gold. Nabucco, short for Nabucodonosor or Nebuchadnezzar, is a historical drama based on the destruction, conquering, and exile of the Jews by the Babylonians. Verdi was obviously moved by the plight of the Hebrew slaves, who longed for their homeland of Israel, and wrote them into his greatest chorus. The text, "Go thoughts on golden wings, go settle upon the slopes and hills, where warm and soft and fragrant are the breezes from our sweet native land. Greet the banks of the Jordan, the towers of Zion." But something else was going on here as well. 19th century Italians were going through their own struggle with self-determination and national unity, the Risorgimento. They completely identified with the struggles of the Hebrew slaves in their quest for freedom from Austrian Habsburg tyranny. In fact, Verdi's own name became an acronym for Italian unity, independence, and freedom. When an Italian audience shouted "Viva Verdi," they were both praising the composer and discreetly saying "Vittorio Emanuele Re d'Italia," Victor Emmanuel, King of Italy, which, like Verdi's name, is also V-E-R-D-I. How they could not be moved by words like, "Oh, my country so beautiful and lost," or "So dear yet unhappy, O harp of the prophetic seers, why do you hang silent from the willows?" When Verdi died the morning of January 27, 1901, at his hotel in Milan, shops closed for 3 days, and La Scala and all the other theaters were closed. Verdi had left very specific instructions for his funeral: one priest, one candle, one cross. Verdi was buried in the municipal cemetery next to his late wife Giuseppina, who had passed away in 1897. The procession began at 7 in the morning, and along the route, Italians began spontaneously singing Va Pensiero, the chorus of the Hebrew slaves from Nabucco, which had become an informal Italian national hymn. Thanks so much for listening to these programs for the past 8 days. Chag Sameach, happy holidays, Sei gesund, be well, have a latke and a bissel schnapps, and I hope that we will see each other again soon. Support for this program was made possible by the estate of Ruth Srego Neuhaus, a lover and scholar of Jewish music.